as your people, we admit that we do not have it all together. And we are completely dependent on you to bring it all together and then hold us together through the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus, our Lord. Father, we now wait with anticipation for your infallible, perfected word to come and meet us. For we have a deep cry, deep calling now unto deep, that you come and meet us right here and right now. Come and speak to our spirits, because we have an ear to hear. Encapsulize our hearts where it may be broken, mend it, that it may be a reservoir today. Just fill it up and let it overflow. And Lord, as I stand as your humble servant, I ask you now, Father, that you would crush every bit of Felix, move him out of the way, that you can have your way. Consecrate me, Lord, for I stand submitted before you. Use me as you see fit. And we promise that you alone will be glorified and the body will be edified. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Being that this is the finality of worship, I really want you to understand the true definition of worship and where it comes from. So beginning at verse number 3, reads, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces, number one, perseverance," so you could keep on going, "and perseverance, character," meaning that God will use tribulations to change your character to be more like him. Character, hope, and Jesus is the hope of glory. Tribulations produce perseverance, character, and hope. Tribulations produce. Now turn to John chapter 16. Verse 29, it will be up on the wall. Verse 29 says, "And his disciples said to him, See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things." He knows it all. "And have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Then he brings to a summation in verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Tell your neighbor, cheer up. Jesus got it under control. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Oh, chapter 22. Chapter 22. Is this good so far? 1 Samuel chapter number 22. Beginning at verse number 1. 1 Samuel. David therefore departed from there and escaped and went to the cave of Adullam. Now when his brothers and his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. Everyone who had a problem came and joined the brother who had a problem. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of praise, the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. Looking back at verse number 3 at the end part, it says, "Please let my father and mother come here with you." Then he says, "Till I know what God will do." I looked at the persecution, the tribulations, and I want to conclude this message that God produces worship. I know some of you say, I'm a worshiper. If you're a worshiper, don't get it twisted. God produced worship. Now understand this. Those of you who really, really know that you're a worshiper, worship comes through trials and tribulation. Say, "I'm a worshiper." You may be seated. Understanding that God himself produces worship from those that he has chosen. God did not choose you that you can worship you. God chose you so that you could worship him. The effect of worship is light unto light, which means that every dark area of you is exposed before God. He is the God of light, which means it is power unto power. What happens in life is that we go through life and we have what we experience called life challenges, ups and downs and turnarounds, and these layers have layered over us. And there are dark areas that Jesus himself was the only one who was able to pull us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Every one of you was stuck in sin before you met Jesus. And if you haven't confessed that you believe, yet you are still stuck, because there's only one way out of darkness, and that is through him. The Bible says that you must believe, because John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Meaning that you are first going to have to believe before you can have the change. Jesus will not come into you until you confess that you do believe that he is Lord and that he is the only one that can save you from your sins. It is then that the portal is open and a deposit comes from God. His spirit enters man. That spirit now comes in to you, which was full of darkness. I was talking to a minister yesterday and says one second of light will change a whole timing, 50 years, 100 years of darkness, 1 second of light. Just one quick second of light is so effective, it changed all darkness. If you don't believe me, just look at, have a closet. Then just flick a light on in there real quick. I guarantee you darkness left as soon as the light came in. One moment. God is so effective that it only takes him one moment to change everything. So thereby, he gives us his perfected spirit, which now comes change. Once you confess that you believe, change happens. Does that mean that you got it all together? Absolutely not. But it means that there's something in you that is all together and it's working on you. The job of the Holy Spirit is to run darkness out of you. You've had years to accumulate all kinds of darkness in your life. As a matter of fact, when you were out sinning, you did not choose God. He chose you. You like sin. You was good at it too. Yeah. And while you were yet good at something that was against his divine nature, because he loves you, he chose you in spite of you. As dirty as you were, he seen you looking good. God knew that he could trust you with his anointing. Thereby, we see a picture in David's life. David, I love what she says about her book, because she breaks it down and brings up this brother by the name of David that God says is a man after my own heart. This brother David was not chosen. Listen, in chapter number 16, he was anointed by God. We're in chapter 22, but in chapter 16, he received an anointing. Check this out. That brother was sort of like us. He was on the other side of the mountain, minding his own business, doing what he does. While he was on the other side of the mountain, God spoke to a brother by the name of Samuel and said, go anoint my prophet. You're going to know him when you see him. Samuel shows up at Jesse's house, and Jesse has all of his sons there in the house. Now, check this out. I'm sure if Jesse came into the house and said, sons, get ready, because one of you are going to be anointed today. I'm sure those brothers had time to shower up, get themselves all together, and be ready for the anointing. It's something that you had no time to embrace. When God chose you, you didn't have time to get cleaned up. God had to come get you as dirty as you were and meet you right. Some of y'all he met in the crack house. Some of you he met at the liquor store. Some of you who met in the curb. Some of you met in the meth lab. He met you in somebody's bed you shouldn't have been. He met somewhere he met you. All filthy. You didn't have time to get it together. David was not invited to the anointing ceremony. So Samuel shows up in chapter 16 and tells him, none of these meet the man. This is not in my spirit. He says, hold on, do you have another son? He goes, let me think about it. Yeah, I do. I got one that he's a little ruddy guy. He's on the other side of the mountain taking care of the sheep. If you imagine now, he's over there taking care of sheep. Now, you know animals smell, so he probably got that smelliness. You know how it was while you was yet in darkness. You, a holy God had to meet you when it was stinky.
And so David is on the other side of the mountain, yet he's being called and chosen to be anointed, yet he has no time to get ready for the anointing. You know, it's something that I'm glad God works the way he does, because we could dress up sin real nice in a suit and put some Armani and some all that cologne on top and some Chanel number 5 on top of all that. I'm so glad that God doesn't give us time to prepare. We know we'll dress it up. David shows up in the house. And Saul says, he's the one. He's the one that God has chosen to enter into kingmanship. Even though you were not qualified, you're the one that he chose to enter into kingdom living. You are the king's kid. Now, I have a problem, because if you are the king's kid and you understand who God is, then you should not ever worry about nothing. Because if you are the king's kid and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything else, and he created everything, and without him nothing was made that was made, then you know that your God, now you are a prince or a princess, and you should not worry about nothing, because anything you need, your God has it. But it takes, for whatever reason, it's a process of time as God gives us new measures of faith. When he chose you, and I remember when I first got saved, I probably had just came from the nightclub and alcohol was still on my breath with a little bit of Denny's on top of it. See, I can just tell the truth. But my mama had brought me up in church, so I happened to stumble into church that day. And God delivered me. While I was yet not ready to be delivered, oh, goodness. And so we see David in chapter number 16. He receives this anointing. Now, when I received the anointing, when I received Christ, that is the anointing. I'm going to be honest with you. No one told me when I got saved that I was going to have to fight, that all hell was going to break loose all around me. I thought, now that I got Jesus, I'm going to sit down and have me a Sunday with a cherry on top. I thought my life was going to be peaches and cream. When David got anointed, he was anointed with he receives an anointing. We receive an anointing, but yet watch what happens to David. The first thing that happens to David in chapter number 16, number one, he's called to serve. He's anointed to be king, but called to serve. You will never jump to the promotion without learning how to serve. In order to lead, you're going to have to be a good follower. You're going to have to learn what it takes to serve. David begins to serve King David, who he was anointed to take his place. He's serving him because he has gotten an evil spirit on him, and they needed somebody who understood worship. So he had mastered the gift of playing the harp. So he's playing the music. Now, listen, there's a difference from somebody who has a gift of playing music and somebody that has a heart to play music. See, I'm so glad that the musicians are in place, because I know without a doubt, with the anointing that they were playing with, that they have a heart to play the music. They were placed here by God. They were put in position by God because they have a heart Oh, goodness. A heart. You can't come up in here and just play. You got to have a heart to play. The heart. So David, he begins to serve the one he's taking his place. The next thing that happens to David is David has to go out and fight because Goliath was calling out all of God's people. And you're going to have to read it because now we're in chapter 17. Goliath is calling out all of God's people and telling them, I'm taking everything. I'll whoop all of you. In other words, he was saying, you little punks. I'm taking over your kingdom. And listen, he was so big that the people were focused on how big he was. Listen, these are the people of God focused on a giant and looking at how big he was. Oh, I don't know, but some of you have some Goliaths in your life. And you've been focused on what's going on with the Goliath. And listen, your God is bigger than any Goliath. And you've looked at the Goliath so long, you begin to see that Goliath is bigger than your God. Ship, checkmate, your God is bigger than the Goliath. And the only reason why you've been discouraged is because you've been looking at what's been going wrong. And you need to refocus today and look at the God who is the only thing that's right. When you begin to look at God, he gets bigger. The closer you get to God, the bigger he gets. You can only get to God through worship. When you have a worship experience, that is your nakedness unto God, which means it's spirit to spirit. There is a closeness with God. And listen, true worship doesn't come from somebody who's living and got it all together. True worship has to be produced. Listen, God will produce true worship out of somebody who's catching hell on every side, but willing to let it go and believe that God is who he is and just gonna keep on keeping on, because that's true worship. David runs out and said, Who is this Goliath cat? What y'all looking at? We are the army of the Most High God. Y'all brothers got it twisted. Show me the Joker you've been looking at. I got something from him. I got something for him. Do you know that while I was on the backside of the mountain, I was blowing kisses to God and worshiping God, and God showed me how to kill a lion and how to kill a bear? Give me my slingshot. Show me that giant. I'll wear that giant out. Saul says, oh, hold up, partner. You willing to fight? The king ain't willing to fight, but you little, but you willing to fight. Isn't it something that God will take something little that's not qualified to fight to win your battle? I don't know who it is, but it looks like you losing. But you the one that he chose to win. It don't matter what it looks like. God has chosen you for this victory. This David, the anointing is on David. Saul says, here, wear my armor. I'm going to show you how to fight, David. Put my stuff on. And sometimes we get tripped up in the game because we tell the wrong people our problem. And then we get the wrong information. Oh, yeah, you ought to do this, honey. You ought to do this. How a married woman going to take advice from a single woman on her relationship? Let me throw the towel in on that one. Sometimes We take information from the wrong people. If it don't line up with the word of God, it's the wrong thing to do. If they telling you something that lines up with the word, then wait for somebody to come and confirm it to the word. Because that's how God works. He will have somebody confirm it in your spirit so that you know that you know. Now you're talking plainly, Jesus. That's what the disciples said. David, he says, I'm going to use what works. And I see with my spiritual imagination, that slingshot was the word. Everything God taught him. So he said, let me get a smooth rock. Because Jesus is the rock. And ain't nobody as smooth as Jesus. He picks up a rock and kills the very thing that was coming against all of God's people. So first, he had to serve. Then he had to fight. I don't know who I'm talking to you, but somebody's in a fight right now. Wow. After he fights, chapter 18, he was resented from the one he was blessing. Chapter 19, they began to persecute him. Wait, you mean the one that you blessed could turn around and talk about you and persecute you? Oh, did that happen to more than just me? You didn't help out some folks. The same ones that you helped are the ones that tried to kick you to the curb. And then try to talk about you are at that, resenting you. Don't get mad at them. You need to know that that was just part of the process. That's part of the tribulation. The next thing that happens in chapter number 20, that's what I liked. Because he goes through all of that and then he gets persecuted. And then he meets Jonathan. Isn't that something? He meets Jonathan, and Jonathan partners with him in a divine relationship. Isn't it something that when you're going through your worst time, that God will just send you one person? All you need is one good friend in your life. And Jonathan stood by him even when Jonathan's daddy was trying to kill him. And I've seen the Bible going to work there, because all it takes is two in agreement and God will be right there in it, and nothing ever happened to David because Jonathan was always with David. Then we mosey on over to chapter 21. And David shows up. And he meets a priest. He's hungry, and his men are hungry. Now, this is the first place where I've seen a picture of what Jesus did for us. The priest told him, we don't have no common food, but we got some spiritual food. He said, if you've been clean, we'll give you the holy bread. Now, the holy bread in the Levitical law was the showbread. Christ is the showbread. So here we see Jesus now be going on the inside. Oh, David points a picture of Jesus coming on the inside when he eats the showbread. Now, the showbread was normally for priests, but now the king is able to eat the showbread. Now, because God has called you out of a defeated life because he overcame the world and brought you into a victorious life, he has given you the showbread to eat. That's why he's feeding you right now, because that showbread is the word of God that dwells richly in you. That bread is bringing to life dead areas that were dead in you is now coming to life. The thing that used to defeat you could never defeat you no more, because the word of God has given you life, and nothing can conquer you. Say he's on the inside. Got Jesus on the inside, and he runs to the cave of Adullam. I'm about to close. He gets to the cave of Adullam. Now, Adullam means the safe place. God was waiting to get you in the cave so that you can know that you're safe. Nothing will be able to harm you. Listen, now he says this. He says, Satan can't touch you. I want every believer to make a vow to stop blaming Satan. Because when you blame him, you are lifting up his name. Nothing happens to you unless God allows it to happen to you. And if you're going through anything, it's only a tribulation, because he works through tribulation to bring about perseverance. He works through perseverance to bring about your character. He is changing the very virtue of you to make you more like him. And if he didn't put a trial and a tribulation on you, then you would quit. You would have quit a long time ago if you didn't go through what you went through last time, and he showed up and delivered you right when you thought you were going to fall apart. He stepped in and made a way out of no way. And if he can do that for you, it'll keep you going. Oh. David gets to this safe place, and he tells him, keep my mama and daddy over there until God shows me what he's going to do. Now, I saw in a vision, I saw the sanctuary filled with men. And we showed up yesterday, and I drove up and the parking lot was full. And I walked in and it was so many men that were yearning for God. And we left that room and we came to this room. And we formed a cave. It was a safe place for men only. But women were included. Let me tell you why. Because anytime you line men up under God, the woman he brought up under man. And if the man gets right, every woman that's attached gets right. It's all about just getting things in order. And listen, when we came to the safe place, men were able to share who God was. It was such a catechistic movement of God that it became so ridiculously crazy up in here, that God has such a, I cannot begin to describe what took place. I can't even articulate with my mouth the move of God, but all I can tell you is that I saw God greater than I've ever seen God before, because men were going after God. When there's two or more could come together and are pursuing God, God he shows himself. In the middle of praising God and sharing the tribulation, we found that every man has gone through tribulation. We found that God gave us victory in every tribulation. We found that whatever God has in store for me, I I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, come and exalt the Lord with me. He now. David, he understood persecution. He was such in relationship with God that he understood the persecution, because he was never complaining, but he was seeking. Now, the Bible says while he was in that cave, he wrote two psalms. I believe he wrote Psalms 142 and Psalms 57. I want, if you will, put 57 on the board, what David was writing when he wrote Psalm 57. Because God was moving through all of his adversity. God was up to something. He was up to worship. The reason why David was a man after his own heart is because he went after God in his time of trouble. And so did you. Just because he's blessed you, don't forget how you came after him. It was when you was in trouble. He has always used trouble to get you closer. Huh? Comfort is what takes you away from God. That's why you could thank him for your trouble. Because trouble will take you to a place in God that nobody knows about. Let me share something with you. When I was in trouble, I believe that God manifested his glory in my mother like he never had before. My mother, when she found out that I was in trouble, she went and prayed. And this time, I know she didn't pray a cute little prayer, because I walked by her room three times and she was still praying for me. And let me tell you something. I was on dope. I was doing all types of stuff. But when she started praying, God started delivering. What am I saying? That trouble will get you into a worship place. The worship place will bring light to every dark area because of her worship. Light came and found the darkness in me. And although I couldn't see, I still found my way to God, because the light was bringing me to God. The worship. 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 Worship changes. It changes. It not only changes you, but it changes your atmosphere. Changes everything attached to you. Listen, God wants some worship from you, not only because he loves it, but because he lives in it. Get the picture. He lives in your worship. When you worship God, I'm not talking about your singing. I'm talking about your cry. You know when you can admit, God, I'm toe up from the flow up. And if you don't fix it, this is not going to get fixed. David writes Psalms 57. Now get this on. First thing he says, be merciful to me. Now he's starting to, he's in trouble, but he says, be merciful to me. Wait a minute. What about the enemy? That's secondary. He's worshiping God. This is a one-on-one thing. Be merciful to me. He says it again. Be merciful to me. And then he says, for my soul trusts you. Proverbs 3:5 said, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. whatever you're going through. Trust God. He's bigger than it. Listen, he allowed it to happen. This tribulation is not meant to kill you. This tribulation is meant to build you. And he's using somebody. And it's not for you to get mad at that somebody, because that somebody is the one that's running you towards God. And you got to be able to bless God and thank him for the one that is running you to him. Instead of blaming folks, turn your face to God and tell him to be merciful to you. He says, and in your shadow, I'll build my refuge under your wings. He said, I just want to live with you. I don't even want to come out. He was in the cave. He came to a place that he didn't want to come out of the cave. He was so engulfed in God. He said, I just want to live here. Psalm 91 said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide in the shadow. God, listen, he uses trouble to get you to come to him. And we have these layers, and most of it is pride issue. Holding on to stuff that we should have let go of. And the only reason why we hold on to stuff is because we're prideful. But God will put a storm in your life that'll make you let go of everything, because he chose you for worship. Therefore, he's going to produce worship. So one way or another, you will be a worshiper. It depends on you. Either you're going to give up and give in, or you're going to let God bend you over one more time. But you will worship God. You will worship God, because he called you to worship. David goes on and he said, I cry out to the Most High God. Sometimes we think we could just say a cute little prayer, and God hasn't changed it yet. And then you start piling Bible on it. Oh God, you said pray this word. That don't impress God. God wants you. He wants every bit of you. Now get this. He wants your whole heart. My problem that I was having is I thought back for a minute and said, I didn't give my heart to so many folks, and I trusted them, and they stomped on it. Now, why shouldn't I give God my whole heart? Because he chose me out of darkness. I'm not going to let nothing. Honey, you cute, but you ain't coming before God. I'm just here to tell you, I love my children, but I've learned ain't nothing coming before God. I even stopped trying to be God for my children. I can't be God. I have to let God be God, because he's God alone. And I'm still on my way. That's why I still have trials and tribulation. And so my daughter was off in college, and Facebook was lighting up, and it was saying that she was involved in some stuff. And you know the daddy side, my iron fist, I wanted to get her, sit her down, tell her a thing or three, let her know. God says, sit yourself down. He said, I alone am God. Either you're going to trust me or you're not. That's my daughter. I told you to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if I delivered you with your crazy self, I sat my little self down. and began to worship God and thought about all the nice things I'm going to tell my daughter, and I began to focus on everything that she was doing right. And all of a sudden, I saw the Lord up in her life. All of a sudden, I seen change begin to happen. And it's all dependent on what you choose to look at. Either you're going to worship God or you're going to worship it. I don't know what that it is, but God said, you will not share my glory with some it. I'm going to get your worship. You won't worship your job. You won't worship your kid. You won't worship that husband. You won't worship that wife. You are going to worship me. And if you worship me, I'll fix it all. Everybody, rest to your feet. Rest to your feet. Persecution has gone out against you. There's some stuff that has gone wrong in your life, and you're like, what's up, God? God, what is up? Some of you have been serving God faithfully, and you're wondering why things are not happening the way you want them to happen. God is not concerned about that. He's concerned about you. Sometimes we think we've given it all to God. I come and I do my very best. But I'm going to tell you right here and right now, I'm still undone. And if God take his hand off of me, you're going to see me fall. Because he's the only thing holding me together. The only thing. I don't have nothing else. And everything that you're going through, that you just came out of, and that you're heading towards, it's designed with a plan for God to produce the worshiper in you. Listen, trials worketh perseverance. If it wasn't for the trial, you quit. You would quit. The perseverance, God says, I'm making you like me. I'm pulling you close. Through your hurt and through your pain, you are learning who I am in a greater way. He says, I'm bringing you in. Something about getting close to an object. The closer you get, the bigger it becomes. When God becomes so big in your life, where all you can see is his glory, and that's all you want. When he becomes so big, everything else has to leave. Because he has you in worship. And listen, the world system will tell you to worry. And you're kingdom minded. You have kingdom hearts. If you have a kingdom heart, you shouldn't worry about nothing.